Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this special primetime edition of Cyril Quinn Review on this 9th of July, 2013. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as we begin our first summer series of the Cyril Summer Series. We'll be interviewing different artists from all walks of life. I'm definitely honored and proud to have Malay Chester, American actress here for the next 45 minutes. We'll attempt to get inside the mind of a working actress, and you know, we'll learn a lot about the craft and what it takes, and how she and this amazing journey that she's on, that she's been on. So, without any, no phone calls from our listening audience. I know you're normally used to calling, but I'm not taking any phone calls for this particular interview. But if your computer is giving you any problems in terms of listening to the show, you can call in to listen to the show. You can always comment on Facebook, on my Facebook webpage, or have any questions on go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com, for any questions or comments. So sit back and enjoy the interview. Malay Chester, thank you for joining the program. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Where were you born?
I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, some odd years ago. Yeah.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an older brother, and I grew up with my mom and my older brother, but also I would have, like, my grandma, my cousins, and the rest of my family also around a lot. So it was kind of like, you know, people weren't around constantly, but because I had a big family, it was always something to do or some fun to be had, or playing with cousins or going to visit my aunt who lives some in further down south in Virginia or something like that. So it was pretty fun, I guess you could say.
How would you describe yourself as a child?
As a child I was extremely painfully shy, and I, like, I would feel comfortable around people that I knew, but around people who I did not know, I would be really quiet and not talk a lot. But I think because of that, well, I don't know if that's the reason, but as a child, my mom put me into after school programs. And I would take, like, karate or dance. And I took dance also in elementary school, and that was, like, my favorite thing to do. I was in love with dance, and I was really good at it, and I excelled in that. And I think it was partly because, you know, I maybe couldn't express myself that well using words, or because I was really shy, so I was able to express myself through movement. So that was really, really helpful to me, and I found some kind of a sense of peace and joy in dancing. And even now, I don't dance anymore, but I do have the feeling of going back to it or taking a class or wondering why I decided not to dance anymore. So, yeah.
So you, and again, you, so dance was your first, let's say, artistic experience.
Right.
You know, now, did you dance in plays? How long did this last, the aspect of your life?
I danced. There was a dance program in school, and then I went to an after-school dance program, and I did like a summer dance program. And I remember it was this work-study program at Motion Studios that's in Germantown. I don't know if it still exists or not, but it was in Germantown in Philly. And I was the youngest member in the work-study program, and I remember that. And that went on until I was about maybe 13 or 14 years old, and I told my mom that I didn't want to do it anymore. I'm not sure why, but she didn't force me to do it. Sometimes I wish she did, but she didn't force me to keep going on with it. But that was, like you said, that was my first experience in the arts and artistic expression.
So how old were you? How old were you when you stopped dancing?
I think about 13 or 14.
So you stopped at 13, 14. What did you What did you want to do? I mean, everybody, you know, asked that age old question as a, you know, to as a kid, as a child. What did you want to be when you grow what did you want to do when you you know, were 10, 12, 13, 14? What was your dream?
My dream for when I was going to grow up changed so many times. Like, I wanted to be a dancer, like a ballerina. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be, well, the doctor was kind of like more consistent of a dream that I wanted to have. But then as I got older, I was going to be a dentist, actually. Like, in college, I had changed my mind about being a doctor, and I had this career class, and I was going to you had to, you know, pick a profession. You know, you discovered a profession that you wanted to do, and then you went to shadow this person, and I went to shadow a dentist, and I felt like that would have been perfect for me because it combined science and art, being a dentist. You know what I mean? Creating, like, beautiful smiles for people. I thought that was like, oh, well, I could have the science part of it, and I could have the creative side of it. But it still wasn't something over time. I realized that wasn't something that I wanted to do. But never, like, when I was a child, I never, ever, like, thought, like, oh, I want to be an actress. There are some people who grow up, you know, knowing from birth, like, acting is what they're going to do, but that wasn't me. I had a totally different life. I never thought that I would be here in this moment doing this.
What college did you study at?
I went to Penn State University at University Park.
What was your major?
I had a pre-med major with a Spanish minor, so it had nothing to do with this. But I had that for the whole time, and then once I graduated school and I started working, because I didn't apply to dental school before I graduated college, I was just going to, you know, graduate and take some time and then go back to it. But during that time, which I'm grateful that it happened, that I realized that, you know, this is not something that I want to do. And then during that time, I started, you know, pursuing modeling at that time, because people would say, like, you know, you should model. And I was like, okay, you know, and I tried that. Even though I remember being younger, my mom put me in a few, like, fashion shows, but it wasn't anything that stuck during, like, my teen years or anything. So when I got older and after I got out of school, and I was waiting to, you know, apply to school, I decided I didn't want to do that, and so I was going to try modeling.
Talk about the modeling. Like, what did that do for you as far as, you know, from a, I don't know, from an artistic standpoint, from, you know, working in that industry? Talk about that experience.
It was, and I, you know, and with that, I don't think I had a full, like, modeling experience. I have friends who, like, model full time, and that's their job. Like, that's what they do. So they have, like, a probably a totally different understanding than what I had. But from what I did, it was just I learned to be like more comfortable with myself, learning that, you know, you are coming in and they're going to, you know, put their clothes on you and you're going to express that vision for them. You know what I mean? So it was about learning that I was a canvas and I'm coming in and allowing them to paint me, and I'm just going to be there just to, you know, get their vision across. And to me, modeling is a little bit, is, I don't know, it's not, for me, it's totally different from acting. And if you were to ask me, like, okay, how did modeling influence anything that I'm doing in acting, I can't even really say now. Maybe there is something that influenced me, but I feel like they're two totally different animals. And approaching acting is just its own thing. And you can't say, like, oh, well, you know, because I'm a model, it'll be easy to switch into acting. You know, I didn't find it that way. I found that modeling is modeling and acting is acting. Maybe in a professional, from a professional standpoint of, like, knowing how to work around creative people, maybe that helps. But I feel like I learned that, too, just by going on my acting journey and being around other actors and writers, directors. You do learn how to, you know, be around other creatives like yourself. So I'm not really sure how modeling translates, or modeling, what I've learned from modeling translates into acting, but maybe it's something that I just haven't recognized yet, but I just find them to be two different things.
With that being said, have you, you know, in what way, if any, has your modeling, did your modeling experience help you over the course, you know, as an actress, as an actress, if it's helped you at all?
I don't know. I feel like modeling is more like putting on, like putting on and saying, like, okay, right now you're going to be this. It's not a character, but you're going to be this idea. And with acting, I find it to be just finding more truth. Even though in acting you're becoming characters and, you know, you're telling these different stories, it's still you, and it's still you being at your most truthful and honest and vulnerable. So it's not, for me, it's just not the same. I guess you could find similarities there. But for me, from what I've learned, I just think it's so different.
When you started modeling, was there ever, when you were during that experience that you you said to yourself, you know, I could do this for a living. Did you ever desire to do it for a living, or was it just something that you just said, let me try this out and see how it works?
I mean, I think there was a small possibility there, like, oh, I could, you know, do this for a living. But then I remember, like, being at shows, like, around Philly. I'd done a show for a designer that I knew during Fashion Week in New York once. I remember doing that. But I always felt that I was, like, one of the girls that was on the thicker side, not even a thick girl, but just out of the sizes that they, like, required. I wasn't, like, an extra, extra small girl. So, and I love to eat, so I was already questioning about, you know, like, I don't know if this is for me, because I can't sacrifice a good plate of food, you know what I mean? So,
yes, I mean, I do know.
So
Not for a model, but I'm greedy.
Right. So, same here. So, I feel like, and I mean, there are other opportunities, like print modeling. That was just for, like, runway and, like, when they would make the sample size clothing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't necessarily fit, you know, and it'll fit better on someone else. So, So, like, you could do print modeling, or even now I feel like they've opened it up where it's more quote-unquote plus size, because I feel like the whole modeling industry just has a whole skewed view of what is an average woman and what is a plus-size woman and what's a small woman. So it's hard to, you know, compare to, like, real life. But I think when I realized that it would be something where I would have to actually change who I am, and I really still didn't feel, like, fully fulfilled in doing that. Like, I didn't think that was enough to just, you know, be looked at as a beautiful object, even though there's nothing wrong with that, but I wanted more. You know what I mean? So, and even at that time, I didn't even know that acting would be it. I was just still, you know, searching, or not even actively, but I think internally searching for where I fit, or, you know, where I belong.
After you stopped modeling, at what point did you say to yourself, you know, I'm going to do this acting thing, and through hell or high water, this is what I want to do? When did you catch that bug, and how did it, you know, how did it happen? Was it a conversation with somebody? Was it just, or did it just hit you? Talk about that.
Okay. Well, I was working. I had a corporate job, and I had a really still a close friend of mine. They saw where I was unfulfilled in my life, and they told me, they said, it was actually a conversation, and they were like, I think you would be good at? And I was like, what? And they said, acting. And I, like, thought it was a joke, you know, like, oh, I would be good at acting? Oh, okay, yeah, that's what a lot of people say to people, like, oh, you would be good at this, or you would be good at that. And I didn't really know anything about acting, but I really trusted this person, and I still trust them and their opinion and what they thought. And so I said, you know, I thought about it for a while, and then I was like, you know, well, I could try it. You know, I don't know anything about it. I'll try it. So what I did was I signed up for a class, because I'm the kind of person that if I don't know something about something, I go where I can get good information. So I thought the best way was to actually take a class. And so I signed up for a class at a theater company in Philly, and I took a beginner's class. I did that, and I was like, okay, that was fine. And then I took a film and TV class, and, you know, I got some more positive feedback, and I was like, okay, that was good too. And then I took this intensive scene study class. And in this class, you actually, you know, you got a scene, you had to make choices, and, you know, really dive into the work. That was, like, the first time that, like, you really had to, like, go in and do specific work on a specific scene and a specific character. And we had a chance to do the scene a couple of times in class in front of the other students. And then at the end, you were able to perform the scene for the classmates, for your family and friends, or whomever you wanted to invite. And so I did the scene in that showcase. And in that moment, when I finished that performance, and it had nothing to do with the reaction of or the response of the audience, but something within me, I felt so comfortable acting and telling the story, and it was almost as if those people weren't even there. And in that moment, it was a moment of enlightenment to say, this is what you should be doing. And the feedback from that class was amazing, from that performance was amazing. And from that moment, I decided to take more classes to, you know, really try and be the best that I can be at this. So from there, I just took more classes, and it brought me to New York.
So you come to New York. Now you're in New York. When you got to New York, what were you doing auditions? What did you do when you came to New York?
So before I came to New York, I was still working a full-time job, and I applied to this program here, and I was accepted. And when I first started the program, I was commuting actually back and forth to New York from Philly a few times a week, or several times a week, I should say, for class and rehearsals. And after a year of doing that, I had an opportunity to move here to New York. And so I just felt like that was a sign that I was on the right path and that I was moving forward on, you know, in my purpose, and this is what I should be doing. And so from there, I was able to move here, and everything happened so seamlessly. And from there, I just completed, you know, the second half of the program that I was in. And I've just been, you know, I just started auditioning again, really full out, because in the first year I was actually doing shows in Philly. Like during my first year of going back and forth for school, I did a few productions in Philly at Plays and Players Theater, at a couple other places in Philly. So I was working there, but then when the second year of my program came, because it was really intense, I stopped auditioning for things, but now that I've completed the program, I'm getting back into auditioning and getting new headshots and getting new monologues and just preparing myself to go back out. And I've already had a couple of auditions since then, so since I started again, you know, these past couple months. So things are going well, but it's just so interesting to see how life over the past, you know, few years, how it's totally changed, and how I'm just kind of moving with what I think I should be doing. And it feels good to do what you feel like you're supposed to be doing.
No question about it. Talking to Malay Chester, American actress, talking about her journey to becoming an actress and what it takes and the things that, you know, what actresses and actors deal with on a day-to-day basis. How about the school that you were studying at? Now, when you go to the military, they're going to identify the soldiers from the non-soldiers. When you deal with a fraternity or sorority, they're going to identify whether you love Sigma Theta or whether you don't love Sigma Theta, or becoming an AKA. Do you get that sense with your school that, hey, you know, yes, we're going to train you, you know, for this particular craft, but if your heart's not into it, you will get exposed. Do you get that feeling or that sense that you know, with the teaching and with the people that are working with you, that are helping you out?
So the question is, did I get that sense of, like, when going into this program, that you can see who was serious about acting and who wasn't? Is that the question?
Well, yes, but also, I mean, the reason I brought the military aspect of, you know, people within the military, you know, those sergeants and those, you know, drill sergeants, they'll, you know, they're gonna crack you. They're gonna do whatever. Except they want soldiers, period. They want soldiers, I'm sure there have been many people that we've never heard of who have quit, saying this is not for me. What I'm asking you is from, you know, the people who are working with you, not so much your peers, but the professors, the teachers, are they, were they hard on you? Are they anal, basically, in terms of their expectations? Because obviously the program you're at is a prestigious program to get, that you have to get accepted. So, I mean, how was that aspect of the program in terms of you? Were there times when you went back to your apartment and said, look, this might not be for me, this guy is an idiot, so to speak, in terms of my teacher gets on my nerves. Speaking from my perspective, as far as the best teachers were the biggest, I don't want to use this word, but the biggest butt.
Yeah.
But now I look back on it, they were great teachers because they were hard on me. Did you ever get that? I don't expect you to call your professor or teacher what I just said, but did you get that sense that there was a respectful hazing, respectful hazing, not that we're mentally beating on you for no reason.
Right. No, I wouldn't call it a hazing, but I will say that they held the bar so high and the expectations for you so high for you to come up to them, and they never lowered the bar for you to make an exception or to say, oh, well, you're only at this level. They held it so high because they wanted the quality of your work to be great when you left that program. They wanted you to feel that you are trained, you are comfortable, you can perform and work under any circumstances. And I feel that, yes, there were times where I saw my other classmates in the program feeling frustrated, feeling upset, feeling angry, because it's not only are you learning as an actor, you're discovering all these things about yourself that you might not have even known, and it's this self-discovery on top of learning this craft, and so it's almost like somebody just takes your life as if everything was in a bag, like a brown paper bag, and somebody like closes the top, shakes it up, and turns it upside down, and everything falls out everywhere. And you're like, what just happened? So, yes, they are extremely hard on you, but like you said, like, I love them, and I'm so grateful for that, because all it does is make you better, and I feel that they are hard on you because they do see your potential and they do see what you're capable of. And so they don't let you get away with anything. They don't let anything slide. They don't let, you come in and just throw it together. There's an expectation of you being an artist and you, doing great work and quality work. And because of that, they hold you to this high bar. And so because of that, I'm very grateful that I was able to experience that and to train, at this program, because all it did was prepare me, and I couldn't be more grateful for that.
Now, you have been in a movie. Am I correct in that? You have a credit to you.
I've been in a short film,
okay,
which is actually going. I just heard recently. It showed last year at a film festival in Philly, but it showed in Australia, and now it's going to be showing in Paris. So, I mean, I won't be there, but that's exciting. And then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
And then I have another film that I filmed, an independent film that I worked on last summer here in New York. And I think you were about to ask me what was the name of the film. Is that what you're going to ask?
Right. Yeah, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. The name of the short film is called Squeak. And the name of the independent film that I did last year, that I worked on last year, is called Still. And so the film that I did last year, it hasn't come out yet, but later this year, I believe, is supposed to be released. But there's a trailer out for both of them if you wanted to check it out. But, yeah, so I've been in a short film, and I've been in an independent film as well.
So the short film is called Sweet?
It's called...
And the short film...
It's called Squeak, S-Q-E-A-K.
Okay, okay, Squeak.
S-Q-U-E-A-K, sorry. S-Q-U-E-A-K,
okay,
right, right.
And our independent film is called Still.
Stills with an S on the end, yeah.
Okay. That, talk about that experience on the set, working with other actors. You have the director in your ear. You have, you know, a bunch of people on set. Just talk about what that atmosphere is like.
Oh, okay. That is, it's a different atmosphere from being on stage, because in filming, you're on set, you have all these outside factors with the weather, you have, you know, the camera person, you have the grip, you have lighting, you have all these things going on around you, but yet you must maintain your focus and maintain, you know, concentration and connection to the material that you're about to, you know, do. And so it was a good learning experience in that, and coming in and shooting scenes out of sequence and, you know, out of the story sequence. And, you know, one on the short film, I remember it was like in the middle of the summer, so we have to do these scenes and it's like 100 degrees outside and you got to turn the air conditioner off so that it doesn't catch it on the sound. So like being under these conditions and yet still like connecting with your partner and being present, I really learned that. But it was a really good learning experience. And then the film that I did, I thought was great too, because I kind of got to see how, you know, the different steps of the process of like auditioning and then coming in for a first read with the whole cast and meeting everybody and, you know, developing this character that, you know, finding that and talking about it with the director and, you know, finding that within myself. I thought that was a great experience, but it's a totally different experience than theater is. And it's being able to, you know, do 20 takes and still be present and alive in each of those 20 takes for that same scene, you know, which is difficult, you know. So it's hard. And it's,
yeah, talk
it's
about
always...
that. Talk about that. Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
Talk about that dynamic with, you know, it's funny because when you were saying that, I was thinking about this movie that I watched. It was the Rat Pack with Ray Liotta talking about the Frank Sinatra. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, Frank Sinatra and that whole Rat Pack with Sammy Davis Jr., Joey
yeah,
Lawford,
right.
and those guys, Dean Martin. And,
right.
You know, the joke was, and it wasn't a joke, but Frank Sinatra, basically, you know, he was the man. So Sinatra, mm-hmm. they're shooting the movie, and they did this, and this happened numerous occasions, where the director would say, let's do another one, let's do another take. Frank be like, I'm just doing one. What are you talking about doing another take? How was that take? And the director says it was fine. Then why we had to do another one? And Frank says, why we had to do another one? Sammy Dean, let's go for a steam. It was hilarious. I mean, it just showed you that's Frank Sinatra's power. But, you know,
right.
If you and I, it's funny. I'm sure actors don't find it funny when they think that they've done a wonderful job on a particular take, and then the director says, "No, you know, I don't quite. I need you to get to another place, or I need
mm-hmm.
let's do another one." Like, talk about that. Can that drive you crazy? How, like, what do you have to do as an actor when you think you've done a wonderful job on a particular scene or a particular take and the director says, you know what, let's try it again? Is this just mental toughness? Do you have to just, you know, keep, are you, what place do you have to be at mentally to kind of like say, okay, I got, let's do it again.
Right. Well, see, from, My experience, I think I'm the opposite. I'm not like, okay, I think that's the take. I'm done here. I'm like, oh, maybe I could try it again. Can I try it this way? And they're like, no, I think we got it. You know, it's usually the opposite for me, where I'm willing to do as many as I can to make it to make it great. You know, and not like, okay, I did those three takes. It has to be in one of those three takes. I'm not that person. I'm like, well, maybe I could try it again. Maybe I could go deeper, or maybe I could come from a different approach, you know, in trying to explore who that is. So I think that's funny because I think for me it's so important to stay open and stay fluid and not feel or think that you've ever got it, or that you know it's one and done. Which, I mean, maybe at some point you could get to that, but it's just nice. I feel like it's a better environment when it's more of the collaboration between the artist and the director, and of saying like, well, this is what I thought it would be, you know, and this is how I thought the character would respond to this, and this is my approach. And the director saying, well, yes, it's a little bit of this, but then maybe a little bit of element, and it creates this discussion of where to go, and less of a dictatorship or less of an argument or a fight of saying, well, I think that was it, or I don't think that was it. You know what I mean? It creates a different environment when you stay open and it's a working together.
What is your biggest fear as an actor, as an actress?
My biggest fear as an actress is to stop evolving. Like, if I ever, like, stopped evolving or stopped growing, to me, it's just, that to me is death. It's just, it's no life there. Like, I have to always evolve and grow and change and learn. It's so important to me to, like, read, to go out and go to museums, to just take in information, to live life, to experience things, so that I have all of this to draw from. So if I don't evolve or grow or learn, then I feel like I'm just shutting myself off. So that's my biggest fear. And also, like, to not be truthful. It's important for me to be truthful as an actress. So those are the two main things, I think.
When you study a character, when you first receive a script from a character, about a character, what is your goal? What is your goal once you get that script to, what are you trying to get out of the character?
Well, when I first get a script, what I do is read it a million times. And I read it from an open place. And I read it a million times, and from those initial readings, I see what comes naturally and what I understand naturally from just reading it from that open place. And then from there, I kind of dig deeper into, the relationship that the character has, who they are, what the circumstances, what they're, you know, trying to achieve, all of those things then I get into. But that initial thing, when I first start, I just kind of keep myself open just to see what's happening and see what comes naturally without, you know, trying to make anything up. And I think that's important, that you don't bring the character to you, it's important that you bring yourself to the character. And then in order to do that, I think you have to be open to what's happening in the script and what they're experiencing, and that way you can bring yourself to them.
Are there roles now, this is, I think, probably one of the biggest challenges, in my opinion, of every actor or actress is once, whether they make it big or whether they, or however long they're in the particular, or in the business of the roles that they choose versus paying bills. And it is real. People, this like, this, they're, you know, like, for live, for working actors and actresses, they, you know, this is what they do. This is as a band. Some of them obviously write and produce, but are you going to be conscious of the roles you take early on, or is it just, or are you going to be like, listen, I'm trying to get put on right now. I'm trying to establish myself. So there I might have to take roles that I might deep down not like, but you know, I'm going to give the best two scenes that they've ever seen in movie history to get, you know, a bigger part. How it's like, because it's funny how it's hilarious to me how, not hilarious, but it's funny to see where some actors started and where they're at. And I'll give you a perfect example real quick. You know, Ryan Gosling had a small, and I mean small role in, Remember the Titans, very small role. A lot of people probably might not even remember him, but he was in there. And there's a scene where, other than Denzel Washington, he's probably the biggest. If you look at that cast of Remember the Titans, where he's at now, he's probably, outside Denzel Washington, probably the biggest star going right now. And if you look at that cast, just to see how far, you know, he's going. But, you know, he had to start somewhere. So what are the kind of things you're looking for in roles early on in your career?
I feel like it's a difference between taking a small role. Like, I am definitely willing to take a small role, you know, in anything. If it's two scenes, if it's a line, I have no problems with that. But I do think it's a difference between that and choosing or doing something that you deep down inside don't want to do, as far as what the story is about or what the, you know, what, you know, the quality of that work. And I feel for me, it is, while I would never turn down a role because it's too small, I would turn it down if I felt that it went against my integrity as an artist. And I feel that it's important as an artist, especially as a young artist, to know what you will and won't do for whatever reason. You know, you just have to be true to yourself. But I don't think it's a good idea to just, you know, do any and everything just because you're, you know, trying to make it. But I mean, like, if that's your goal, like, if your goal is to just do whatever you need to do to make money or be famous, then, you know, by all means, go and do that. But if your goal, which I think is my goal, is to be a great artist, then I think it's important to make those decisions and to be able to say, no, I won't do that, you know, for my own personal reason. But off the top of my head, I can't say, okay, these roles I won't do, you know, this I'll definitely do. I think it's a case-by-case basis, you know what I mean, as they come, where you can decide, or I can decide for myself to say, yes, I want to do this, or no, I don't want to do this, or this doesn't resonate with me, or, you know, I'm in love with this character or whatever it is. But I think integrity is really important to me, and the quality of the work that I do is really important, not necessarily the size. Because if you do good work and you do great on your one scene or your one line or your five lines or your two scenes, eventually that will take you to getting, you know, more work or a bigger part, but you have to start somewhere. So there's I have no problem with that. It's just more about the quality and the integrity of the work and having the power to say no, you know, and feeling comfortable, but not saying like, oh no, because you're above something. But saying no just because as an artist, that's just not what, you know, what you feel is right for you. And I think that's okay.
That is a wonderful way to put a bow on this program. I couldn't even go on after that. I just hope that young artists were listening to that, because integrity is everything. Malay Chester, thank you as always for joining the program. Certainly, I'm glad to have you a part of the Cyril Quinn Review family. And it was the next interview I do in terms of summer series certainly has big shoes to fill, because you did a tremendous job. And again, Malay Chester, I'd like to thank her for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the program. And certainly we will be looking forward to seeing your work in the near future. And again, Squeak is a short independent, Squeak. And she also has Still. Squeak is a short film, and Still is the independent film So be on the lookout for that. And again, Malay, thank you for your time. And
Thank you so much.
And certainly good luck in the future. Again, easy to say this because you're coming on the program, but again, the last couple statements that you made, you know, a lot of actors and actresses will sell out. That's just all there is to it. It is business, and you know, you are trying to pay some bills, but again, I feel that you can never go wrong if you are true to who you are as an artist, but certainly as an individual. But so again,
right.
Malaya, thank you for your time and good luck.
Thank you so much.
No problem. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review Primetime Edition Summer Series Part 1. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another interview from an artist which has yet to be determined, so we'll get to that. But I'll see you, on Saturday for our regular sports program. Have a great evening. So long, and again, you can always catch this, the replay of this program at CyrilGeraldQuinn.com very soon, but at Facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or very soon, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Have a great night.